How to be a hipster parentheses teen bullies. Morgan, would you like me to send this to you?
I'm not a hipster, I'm a skater boy.
Discover what you like and dislike. Eat and shop at secret places. Say and do things for the sake of being ironic.
You're listening to Pot of Wonder, a podcast where we create a world for a tabletop role-playing game. Each week, we take a genre trope and a random Wikipedia article and turn fact into fiction in 15 minutes. This season, we're building a world in the genre of murder mystery.
Good old one take Delaney.
I'm genuinely shocked I did that. I think I passed out for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. The rest of this is going to be a disaster.
It's like all the toxic substances in your body just like purged and just left with pure sense.
Pot of Wonder, season 3, episode 8. I think.
Yes.
Sure.
Here. Sure. All right. Yeah. Sounds right.
Yep.
Sounds good. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Do we want to do a human? Do you want to be human and catch up?
Let's be human for a bit.
In late breaking news. I'm going by Morgan now.
Cool.
All
right.
Great.
All right.
Everyone's been updated.
That was anticlimactic,
yeah.
I feel like, but just so that our many, many listeners don't get confused at the zero change in voice or behavior or content and just change in a name.
Yeah. I have a human thing, which is Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Like
I saw it too.
Better than it needed to be, honestly.
Oh my God.
Like, it's legitimately a good movie.
Were there kids in your theater when you saw it?
Yes.
Did that help your experience?
It helped me equate my partner Meg's behavior with kids. Because they were also, like, getting excited and offering, like, side commentaries. And I was like, Meg, you're doing what the 7-year-olds do. Like, I love you.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey back in full 90s form.
I did not expect a dance sequence. I did not know that I wanted a dance sequence.
I would watch that over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't even see Sonic, so, and I'm probably not going to, but, I mean, I would if people were like, let's all go see Sonic, but I'm not, like, actively interested.
It's not as, oh shit, this is bonkers, see it now, at like Cats was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more like if you were thinking about it and were worried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've never played any Sonic games, and my entire knowledge of Sonic the Hedgehog comes strictly from Polygon's Unraveled episodes. Oh yeah, that too. Polygon's like Unraveled videos it's literally all of my knowledge of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's dive in before we
make this into a Sonic the Hedgehog podcast.
I mean, we did kind of start this season
with a
Sonic nod. So, yeah, it's worth bringing up, though.
This episode is our shocking twist.
Dun, dun, dun.
Something that throws what we've known about the case so far entirely into question. To that end, for maximum shocking twistiness, each of us is going to pull from a different wiki, which is not Wikipedia, in order to hashtag make it weird. So I pulled from WikiHow, the wiki that tells you how to do things, and also redraws stock photos for its illustrations. And I got How to Buy Scooters in India. India's two-wheeler market is one of the biggest in the world. Scooters are becoming increasingly popular due to their convenience and ease of use. Whether you want to buy a new or used scooter, read below for steps how to do it safely and easily. How to buy a scooter in India.
All right, then. I pulled from the D&D wiki, and I got Elixir of Skeletonization. 5th edition equipment. Potion. Very rare. If you drink this potion, you permanently turn into an undead skeleton, your choice of subrace. You retain the capabilities you had in your original form, except you exchange the racial traits in your original race for a skeleton's racial traits.
Hold on. You can turn into a different skeleton? Like, yeah, you like turn into a human drinks it, they can turn into, like, a gnome skeleton?
I think so.
Okay.
This is all in the article.
I mean, that's a fucking plot twist. Like, what if he was never a hedgehog?
Save it for the session.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, Morgan, yeah. Please. All right. Take us
so
home.
I pulled from the conspiracy wiki. My conspiracy is Jesus was married.
Go on.
The Jesus was married conspiracy derives from an interpretation of the Gospel of Philip.
Which states
that Jesus preferred the companionship of Mary Magdalene over any of the other disciples. The theory is an upset to Christians. There are gaps in the papyrus paper of which the Gospel of Philip is on. This is like really bad grammar too on this whole. Though it does not state that Jesus kissed Mary Magdalene on the mouth, it says that he kissed her. The book never states that the two were married, nor does the kiss reference indicate a sexual connotation. However, this is enough for some to believe that the two were secretly married.
So this is biblical fan fiction.
Yeah.
It's based on the extended universe canon.
Uh-huh. Like if you read the like this the 4-issue mini comics, it adds a lot to the backstory.
But that was lost when Disney bought Jesus.
Oh yeah. It's technically Legends until it gets incorporated into the movie.
Jesus Legends.
Yeah, this is some weird stuff we all have. Yeah. I think just to go over the steps of scooter buying, in case this illuminates anything, I think buying a used scooter is personally more interesting, so familiarize yourself with a secondhand market, consider the condition of the scooter, get your finances in order, make the payment, and purchase the scooter. And I feel like we can kind of spin this off as somebody owning, like, a weird foreign, like, transportation vehicle and tracks were found near the crime scene.
Some sort of barter gone wrong.
I will say as far as twists go, that's pretty mundane.
Yeah, compared it doesn't feel very shocking.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to advocate for my article, but...
You should.
Danny, I really liked that kind of brief thing you mentioned. What if it's not a hedgehog at all?
Yeah, I do. Skeleton
thing, even though it's like two sentences, we could probably get some. I'm sure, you know, click on the skeleton link and kind of go from there, see if there's anything in there we can pull from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm into some skeletonization.
I am too. And just to round out the thing with advocating for myself, though I'm not married to the
article. Neither was Jesus.
Yes, he was. Okay. I mean, a secret marriage that might or might not be real and might or might not be like based on a weird interpretation of something possibly innocent, like gossip, is always a good shocking twist. Like, secret marriage, come on. That's always a good shocking twist everywhere. But it's also very done.
Yeah.
And
In the evidence episode, you did kind of low-key invite magic into the world. So, like, skeletal transformation potions, like, we'll turn that into something else, obviously, but...
What
like,
magic did we introduce into the world?
Grundy had, like, a beginner's guide to magic in his study, and, like, some magical ephemera.
I kind of like the skeleton thing, because we can tie that back into that, like, Brandy's magic stuff.
Oh.
Like, maybe they're doing an autopsy on the hedgehog, and it's like, these bones don't match up with what a hedgehog's bone should be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is this? Looks like just an urchin that's been sewn together. What is this nonsense?
Okay, now you're getting into the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Potion of skeleton. So is it
skeletonization. 5E equipment.
I'm into
the,
it.
The All right. dndwiki.com.
Hi, Wanderers. Danny here. A quick note if you're listening to this on the week it comes out. Morgan and I are going to be at Dreamation this weekend. If you're also going to be there, at us on the social meds. We'll find some time to say hi to you and be pleasantly surprised at any sort of recognition. Back to the episode. Skeleton names. White Bones, Chatterbones, Mr. Bones, Skeletor, Scary Mary,
Ains, Dute.
This is my skeleton, Dute.
I do think it's funny that they're dividing skeletons up by gender, and a lot of these names are so not gendered. So Pyrith, if he's a boy. Mikko, if it's a girl.
I do like that. According to your D&D, the official definition of skeleton is skeletons are the reanimated, completely decomposed body of a humanoid. So, by definition, skeletons are reanimated in D&D. So, the skeletons within our bodies are not skeletons.
Mm-hmm. They're just calcium sticks.
They're just bone jumbles.
Non-magical bone jumbles.
Bone stacks.
Organic bone stacks.
Stacks on stacks on stacks.
Meat drivers? No, I hate that. Good to just jump into it?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Jump on in.
Coming back.
Jump on into bone.
Taken
town.
From the elixir. No, I'm going to come back to that. Jump on down to bone town. What was that? Was that it?
Yeah. That's what we're going with.
Jump on down to bone town.
That's probably the episode title now. Oh, thank you.
That's the t-shirt for this season.
Yeah.
Tackle your own bear. It's
jump on down to bone town.
So with our 15 minutes on the clock, away we go.
To bone town.
Off okay. To bone town.
I'm done now, okay.
So, we've addressed that we kind of want this to be some sort of real revelation about Nikos' species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've talked briefly about it being magic oriented, but I think maybe in the autopsy, we'll start there. Maybe it was revealed that the bones, maybe doesn't he actually have bones? That's part of it.
Mm.
And he's like actually some sort of urchin that was.
That's what I was going to say. Fuck.
And that people weren't able to tell how.
Like, sea urchins are called sea urchins because hedgehogs used to be called urchins.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're sea hedgehogs.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wanted to secretly be just like a sea urchin.
So I think we're stumbling into something here. Mm-hmm. How does this world feel about trans-speciesism?
I mean,
this potion exists.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I don't want it to be like. I don't want it to get into a weird, like, trans...
political comment.
Allegory.
Social commentary,
like,
yeah.
I just want it to be, like... It's not because he, like, actually feels like a hedgehog, truly. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean...
It's just like, okay, this is a convenient thing. Or, like, there's a reason behind it
but
that's not...
But we know it exists. I'm thinking more along the lines of the Batman Beyond episode with the splicers.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that.
Like, at least we kind of... somewhat established that magic exists as an actual force for belief... It's obviously not a common thing, or everyone would be doing it, but perhaps somebody in power... Because I can see a lot of benefit for, like, a sea urchin, for example, like, transforming to a hedgehog and getting a place on, like, the land council.
Yeah.
Like, but because it's a thing that exists, then there must be some kind of system in place to, like, prevent against that kind of thing happening.
Does there?
So
or
it's,
maybe
is it, so
unless
is it
it's, like, so secret a thing that,
well,
like, they don't know it exists.
It's out there. People know it and know that there's some magics out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe it's illegal because it's rare.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely not something that's, like, sanctioned or acceptable or, like, anything like that. But, like, there are definite, like, it's obviously possible. I just don't think it would be, like, I feel like it would be along the lines of, I don't know, people, like, going online to, like, figure out how to build a bomb. Like, it's illegal. It's so, like... It's not super common, though, so it's not, like, emphasized or at the forefront of everyone's minds.
I mean,
like,
simply because of the logistics involved of, like, from a sea creature becoming a land creature.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's purely cosmetic, you'd still be expected to wear, like, some sort of breathing apparatus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Like, full-on magic, like, gills get replaced with lungs or what.
Yeah. And, like, I would presume that there would be, like, because, I mean, if it was, like, common enough that it happened or that it was something that people were really concerned about, there would probably be, like, some kind of, mm-hmm. like, test or something if you were in a position of power. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe, like, the barriers to, like, actually getting access to this stuff is so high that it's, like, not something that anybody wants to waste resources, like, checking on.
It's, like, the dark web.
Yeah.
Like you have to, but, like, not internet. Like, you have to go to, like, a shady physical location.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to,
like,
get.
There's no guarantee it even works and you're not getting conned.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, rarity, absolutely. But I'm thinking it's not a shady sort of thing. It's almost on the other side of it. Like, it's like somebody who finds, like, an older wine, but, you know, the chances that it's been preserved somewhere to be usable. Mm. So chances are they're, like, old potion bottles that are floating around there, but it's really just, like, brown mush inside now. Mm. But people still collect them
sort
from
of
some,
like,
bygone era.
Like a lost kind of magic.
Right. Almost. But if you can find, like, a potion that works.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to... Chances are, if somebody has it, they're not even going to use it. They're going to hold on to it, sell it later.
Mm.
So the fact that this lowly kind of young ambassador is someone who had access to this raises even more questions.
Definitely he would know what he was drinking, but, like, I feel like the efforts to get these, like, kinds of potions appraised or tested to see, like, what do they do, like, just in case, because, you know, what if these ingredients expire in a weird way and like it fucking murders me right then, or I murder everybody. Like, it would be really hard to, like, seek someone out to actually tell you exactly what it does and what it was supposed to do. And even then, it wouldn't be a guarantee it would work. Like, you would just know what it was intended to do. But, like, even that's just really expensive and really out of the way. And, like, it's resource intensive. Like, very few people are going to do that when they can, like, just kind of test a little bit at home.
Might be more, like, shocking twisty. What if this was something that was done to Nikos? Rather than something he did himself.
Well, maybe something that was done to him, but he's still playing that role of ambassador. So he agreed to this, but maybe because he's in too deep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
It was easy to coerce him into doing this. Like, he was a lowly, like, sea urchin, and someone with some sort of agenda was like, no, we're going to oust this old land ambassador.
Yeah.
We need to put one of our own in that seat.
Yeah.
Because he's crucial to this deal,
like,
that's going on.
Like, he's, like, very deep cover agent.
And obviously whoever did this to him is connected enough to be able to, like, fake whatever records would be required to say this ambassador definitely came from the land.
Uh-huh.
So,
like, those, like, conspiracies about Obama is like, oh, he was, like, a secret, like, Islamic agent raised here and, like, installed in order to eventually become president. But, like, true.
Yeah.
And not insane.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's magic involved. So it's somebody maybe, like, tossed this out there as a... There's, like, some conspiracy theorist who, like, in our world tossed this out there as, like, as a possibility. And, like, the next day after the autopsy got out, like, there's a sub-conspiracy going around about them because they suddenly went missing.
Yeah.
Because, so, like, imagine an Alex Jones-esque type person got, like, actually rounded up by the government because they were fucking right about one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like this makes so much sense too, in a weird way. Like, from
you just have to connect the dots.
Oh my god.
Okay.
So
let's focus in. What exactly? Like, are we going with that sort of sleeper agent type stuff?
Yeah, but a kind of unwitting. So, he was young, so it makes sense he'd be kind of bumbling and wouldn't know what he's doing in this ambassadorship.
Yeah.
He'd be in a suit. Wouldn't have to speak as much. He'd just have to sign the papers and, you know, take up space in a room.
Like, vote the way that the sea creatures would want the land creatures to vote in case, like, anything comes up there. Like, it wasn't really expected to be, like, a really big op. It's just, like, a foot in the door. And that was important enough to invest all this like time and money to get like the right old potion and like,
it's like a,
transform.
A very like long game. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, make yourself trusted, follow the other land representative, and then one day when you're in power, that's when we flip the switch.
Yeah. Like they got him in when he was really young and like malleable. Mm-hmm. So like he could easily be influenced.
Okay.
What if our man John Grundy there was onto this too? And because he had studied, he had some sort of background in magic, maybe he wasn't necessarily trying to kill Nikos. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's kind of part of the reason for some of the business cards too. Uh-huh. He was trying to connect some dots to who Nikos was working for.
Ooh, okay.
So John Grundy was kind of playing amateur detective and happened to be in the wrong place, but maybe him revealing that part of his investigation would bring someone else into it.
Yeah.
And like, that's why he hasn't been more
like vocal about it. Like he unwittingly ended up talking to some random person who was connected to it, and that like told them that they were on to, like Grundy was on to the plot, and it's like, okay, we need to set this guy up. He's getting too close.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. So, who is in charge here? Like, who is pulling the strings?
Well, what do they want? I think when we kind of, before we figure out who's doing it, what would they gain out of this? I'm sure it has something to do with that, the connector that we've been kind of talking about in the background.
Yeah.
The whole, that I think we've kind of lost sight of in the details of.
Yeah.
I know there was like a brief subplot about like the energy industry that like both land and sea creatures had like responsibility for doing.
Oh yeah, the recycling.
And, like us getting getting like sea creature representatives onto the like the land council is basically like getting a monopoly on the government.
Mm-hmm.
So like whoever's behind this like doesn't like the land creatures having so much input in the government. Like it's probably some like pro-sea organization, like they don't like being near a surface town, having to deal with these tourists in this coral plaza, getting special rights.
What if it's like an anglerfish? Ooh. Is kind of like their head.
Yeah.
It's somebody who's in like the deep ocean. But there's like
the
whole thing we haven't touched.
Deep ocean, deep state.
Yeah.
They call it the
Deep ocean, deep state.
The trench.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Like I'm imagining like kingpin style anglerfish, like big, like white suit, little dangling light on the forehead.
It's almost, it is a literally shady part of the Oceania. Where they exist, but these are also very wealthy people who operate multiple businesses from literally from the shadows.
Yeah.
Also, to inject some the vaguest amount of realism into this.
What?
I think that this like big boss anglerfish should be a female anglerfish because male anglerfishes are actually like tiny and nonsense.
Pustule things.
And, like they tend to just latch onto a female and just kind of get absorbed into her body just for the rest of their lives.
Every once in a while there's like a subtle cough under whatever she's wearing.
Oh, God,
and it's like she like hits it and it's like, sorry, it's an ex-husband.
Yeah.
So
deep sea, deep state.
She was one of the business cards in the wallet.
Yeah, like superficially, she's head of like some like minor, unassuming government agency. This is a deep cut, but the 2000 sci-fi show Invisible Man hid this top secret government project inside the Department of Agriculture because no one would go looking for it.
Oh my God.
And like Grundy does something like that. Like he talks to some random side agency and is like, hey, do you happen to know this guy? I just need his phone number to talk to him about this. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And like immediately after he leaves, she makes the phone calls like we have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the reaction to this though? Like, well, does this get out? This is a twist we know.
I feel like it has to get out.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I feel like this is something that might leak out because
it would definitely be a leak
because the autopsy report, like maybe gets released anonymously, or maybe the autopsist, what's the word, coroner,
medical examiner,
like releases it to the public because hey, it's this big case, government official dead, like people.
Government. I think I know who you're gonna be.
So, who is Danny?
Medical examiner.
Nah. Alright, that's easy.
I feel like the medical examiner would have like really secretly leaked it. Like,
we are agents for the anglerfish.
Like interrogating the enemy about
it. Yeah, like why did you leak this?
I kind of was thinking more along the lines of the ME, like, secretly leaked it. Like, no one actually knows it was her. Like, definitely suspicion because, you know, medical examiner, an autopsy report, but a lot of people saw that autopsy report.
I don't know. I feel like we've gone to kind of, I feel like we need to be bad guys, though. We haven't really done bad guys as part of the questioning. Yeah. Since we've just kind of introduced that whole anglerfish world, I think, fleshing out the shady business deal side of things.
Yeah, but I'm not sure, like, what questions to ask Danny that would flesh out our shady business dealing. Like, it's definitely easier if you're, like, being a reporter.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like we lean on that one so much. It's too easy. What if we're some sort of, like, independent, like, political watchdog group? We've, like... I mean, that might be a little specific. There's going to be another way to phrase it.
It's like a whisper network or something like that. Like... these are people that you go to if you want information to get out, but you don't want it to be traced back to you at all.
The undercurrent.
I like it. Yeah.
Because the information always checks out, but it's just a network of anonymous whistleblowers.
We're just like anonymous sources. Like, we're like, if there's like a newspaper article, like, and someone says, like, an anonymous source did this, so it's like probably someone in the undercurrent or something like that.
So, who am I?
You are Tabitha Dorton, Nurse Shark ME, and you are meeting with representatives of Undercurrent, a group dedicated to gathering facts anonymously and getting them to the right places to expose corruption, greed, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. We are C Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you have reached out to us with this hot tip. You haven't told us what it is. That's part of the meeting.
Okay.
We meet in an abandoned sea. It was going to be one of the first joint sea land projects, a sea train, as it were, abandoned 20 years ago without ever really having run. But we meet in a car, kind of with a door between us to preserve anonymity.
So
Ms. Stewart, thank you for meeting us. Yeah. I think you might have some. A few questions for us before we begin.
Yes. Is that a good voice? That's not one of my questions. I suppose this is more of a meta question, but do I know what magic is and that it's that something supernatural is at play here, if you will, season two?
I'd say you're a person of science.
Hmm.
So, I think that might be why this is particularly hinky, because according to science, this shouldn't be a thing.
Okay. What is one of the major secrets that has been most recently divulged by your organization?
Agent M, I think you might you are on the last fact finding mission.
Well, you've heard about the dolphins, right?
No.
Well,
it's a good secret then.
Yeah. I can't give away more information than that. It would potentially put at risk our network.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know you that well. Quite frankly, you could be working for someone who just tried to lure us out here to kill us. We're not going to let you know anything sensitive.
Just trying to establish trust is all.
I mean, you did seek us out. I presume that means you have some level of trust in us.
Well, I didn't know where else to turn. It's such a strange thing. Lastly,
Why is it necessary that we meet in person? In Merson? In Merson.
It's part of the verification process. We have to make sure that the information comes from a real source. Out here, it's harder to be listened in on without it being known, so.
Yeah, this is a very basic way of initiating our operations and gathering info. It's safer for you, it's safer for us. It's just better.
Questions you have.
All right. We'll try to make this quick in the effort of secrecy and getting everyone back to where they need to go. You reached out to us specifically. Is there anyone who you know of who might be upset by this information getting out?
Well, I feel like if it became public, it might upset a lot of people who might have some issue with the victim not being what they seemed. But the truth must be known.
And that truth is?
Nico Spubowski is not a hedgehog.
That's quite an accusation.
Yes, that's definitely...
I assisted with the autopsy, and the bones, they don't match.
What do you mean? What do they match up to?
Something else, well, it's a derogatory term, but sea urchins. But they are different somehow. I feel like it unfairly looks down upon them. Sea hedgehogs might be a little better, but that's comparing them to land creatures. It's a very fraught issue.
We understand. We understand this. But we're important. The information's what's important here.
But I have medical records. I have photos. You can
slide it under the door. If you could, just because we again protecting your anonymity.
Swish. We're underwater.
Splish. We're underwater. Thought of wonder. Okay. Interesting. So. I know you said that quite a few people would be concerned if this got out, but we do need to be able to guard our members in their spreading of information. So is there any, like, particular contingent that might pose a more dire threat aside from just, you know, some noisemaking about being upset? Or, like, what kind of precautions may we need to take, what kind of people may we need to avoid keep our sources safe?
Oh, I think the entire Coral Plaza is going to be in an uproar when they hear one of their government representatives is, in fact, an underwater creature. It would call into question everything that they've ever done.
How anonymous do we need to keep you? Because we will work with you with whatever needs you have in terms of being kept anonymous, but... Admittedly, sometimes it's more believable if there's some level of identification from, like, where we got this source, so...
Trash your office, make it look like somebody stole this information.
Stage a break-in, that kind of thing.
Oh,
yeah.
That's full service.
Yeah.
I was just going to say there's only the doctor and myself who performed the autopsy, but the paperwork can go through multiple departments. Maybe if you could go through the record keeping, there's a puffer fish in there that might deserve a little bit of attention thrown their way, if you get my drift.
I'll put in the word to Big Charles.
All right, that's good information. But we're going to be operating, keeping your involvement secret?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. Are you open to potentially being surprised by a break-in at some point? Because it would be more believable if you don't know what's coming.
As long as I don't get hurt.
Oh, you won't get hurt. That's fine.
Much.
We might have to do some, like, light superficial, bruising. Light bruising, maybe a bop on the head. Like, something to make it believable if you're there. We can't give you warning on when exactly it'll be, obviously, because you'll see it coming and you won't be as surprised.
I'm sorry, I only set aside 3 minutes of my day. I really must get going.
All right.
Swim.
We'll be in contact.
Oh my gosh.
Danny, you're going to have fun listening back to that as
Morgan
and I circle around. Reporters, not reporters. Reporters, not reporters. Wait a second. Let's backwards invent anonymous.
Yes.
Hi, Danny from the future here. They're not kidding. It was seriously like 10 minutes back and forth like that. And not entertaining minutes either.
I was like arguing like I did for the mermaids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like I was like, no, we're not going to do anything else. I need
duck
to
season,
reporters.
Rabbit season.
For
duck
one, season. It's not season. Reporters.
But it's not going to be, it's not going to make sense if it's not reporters.
They're going to report things, but they're not reporters.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's how it worked out.
Compromising is just calling it something different.
Yes.
Rebranding.
Compromising is just making Eddie feel better about it.
Yep. Using slightly different terminology to appease Eddie's ego.
Yes.
It's kind of been the theme of my whole life. Hashtag fragile white male.
Yeah. I was just surprised it worked. I was like, oh shit, I got my way. Yeah.
Here's the secret, Morgan.
It.
I'm very dumb.
So. How will this shocking twist upset our precariously balanced and well-detailed underwater world?
That we totally remember all of the details
every
for?
Every single one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Stay tuned.
Are we building a highway connector or dealing with pollution? We'll never remember.
What's that thing about birds again? Out of wonder.
Pot of wonder. God. Bird terrace? Question mark.
Okay.
End credits.
This has been Pot of Wonder. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Pot of Wonder.
I'm Danny. You can find me on Twitter at DannyPlaysRPGs, and you can find the games I make at DannyMakesRPGs.itch.io.
I'm Morgan, and you can find me on Instagram at ILivedInBooks, and on Twitter at OwlBurning.
And I'm Eddie. You can find me on Instagram at MonstersByEd, and find the games I make at StrangeButTrueGames.
Our intro theme is Opening by Kumiko. Our closing theme is Epic Cinematic by Scott Holmes.
Please start the episode. I'll just be like, I'm going by Morgan now. Just FYI.
If you have questions, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.